The art of cultivating self-compassion is an extremely important part of the practice, to actually listen to the thoughts and underneath the thoughts, the feelings that you have for yourself in terms of aversion, criticism, feelings of inadequacy or shame or whatever. And sometimes it requires dwelling in them for long periods of time until finally you get sick and tired of them. You see the unnecessariness of it. It's like you're continually hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. After a while, it just feels like maybe time to stop. There's a wonderful poem, which you may or may not know, that embodies or captures the sort of spirit of self-compassion by Mary Oliver. Do you know Wild Geese? Do you know that poem? You do not have to be good. You don't have to be a certain way. You don't have to be good. It would be enough for you to just be who you are. No matter how lonely, whoever you are, no matter how lonely the world offers itself, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over again, over and over again, announcing, announcing your place in the family of things. A lot of time that self-loathing is really from a lack of feeling of belonging. You know, I don't really belong. I'm not okay. I don't fit in. And we can find all sorts of reasons why we're no good. Have you noticed that? Like that the mind is just like never comes to an end of the ways in which we're inadequate. It just goes on and on and on. And it's all just thought. A lot of time it's internalized from some other place or some other time. So what about actually taking that seriously, that we already belong? Maybe we're okay just the way we are, in all our perfection, with all of the things. Because the trouble with the self-loathing is it's accurate. Yeah, there's a lot wrong with you. And there's a lot wrong with me. You know, we all have our warts and pimples and our boundaries, you know, and our blindnesses. So what? So what? You did not have to be good. Perhaps you're already perfect in your imperfections, just the way you are. That's what true nature is all about. It's like the rest is kind of like just surface. And if you touch your true nature, the entire thing changes. So we remind ourselves over and over, as you were saying, you know, we get carried away. We may be in touch with it, then you get carried away. So watch, you know, the mind goes off, you bring it back. The mind goes off, you bring it back. Isn't that what happens in this place? I mean, the mind goes off, you bring it back. That's the fundamental instruction. Goes off, you bring it back. Goes off, and you watch where it goes off. Goes off into self-loathing, into condemnation, into patterns that you've been going on since you were a child. And you don't condemn it. You don't say, yeah, you're right, and here's 10 more reasons why you're no good and you'll never amount to anything. Or this is where you went wrong and the rest of your life is finished because of that. You let it be, you look at it, you look deeply into it, you listen, and as much as you can, you don't touch it. With either pushing it away, suppressing it, agreeing with it, condemning it. You just watch, listen, and you come back to something more fundamental, like the breath, or the body, or just this moment as it is, which might include that as one little cloud in a much vaster domain. And it's not easy to do. Sometimes you don't want to come back, right? Or you forget, and the mind goes off. 10 minutes later, you remember, the breath. You see what you're doing to yourself. So it doesn't matter. At that moment, you've seen it, you come back. Now, but there's resistance. I don't want to do this. So you get into, I don't want to. That's all resistance. So if you exercise, for instance, you work against resistance, you put a weight, 20-pound weight in the hand, and just like the breath, breath comes in, breath goes out, breath goes in, breath goes out. The mind is on the breath, you're with it. back and forth, something starts to grow. Okay, working against the resistance. The mind doesn't want to come back to the breath. You let go and bring it back anyway, without condemning, without pushing. Over time, something starts to grow. Part of that is stability of mind, to just cultivate intimacy with the mind and not be thrown by it in the same way, because we're not sucked into the content of the thoughts. We're not so connected to the pronouns that we just go down with our pronouns. You're this, I'm this, you're no good, whatever it is. And we just keep coming back to something more fundamental, more here. And then gradually that stability of mind, one-pointedness of mind, concentration, and also that intimacy, that familiarity, starts to develop into something extremely robust. It's like you see the play of mind and body. You see it in all its infinite microscopic topologies and patterns, and you realize that it's independent of something more fundamental. It's like the weather. It's just doing itself. And if you can hold it in that way, in mindfulness, in the present moment, it no longer is imprisoning. You don't have to be good at this. All you need to do is trust, to cultivate that great faith, to be still. Even inside of movement, it doesn't mean like you have to quit your job and never go anywhere, or that work is the worst place to do this than this zendo. Work is just as good a place to do it as this zendo. But it's nice if you can find some balance. Does that make any sense to you?